right, welcome back to the KNBR pregame show, talking baseball. Marty Lurie is on assignment, and our next guest coming all the way down from San Diego, California, Craig Elston. He is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast. So welcome in today, Craig.
Oh, thank you, Bill. It's my pleasure to be on. Appreciate the call.
Well, outstanding. The Padres are just having a heck of a week so far. They're 8-2 in their last 10, 20-14 overall. Tell us a little bit about your first take about this past week of the Padres.
Yeah, on my Twitter account at 619 Sports last Sunday, when the Padres finished off 7 wins in 7 days against Texas and Houston, hitting 4 grand slams in 4 mm-hmm. days, and then a 5th over the weekend, Manny Machado, NL Player of the Week. That day I wrote, best week of Padres baseball in 22 years. And I really think that was the case in terms of both, obviously, the results, setting a Major League Baseball record, going 7-0 in 7 days, not easily done, but also the way they did it, the swagger, the stardom, Tatis, Machado. There's so much going on with this Padres team right now. They are emergent, and it's always fun. And I think that's why they've captured the fancy of Major League Baseball fans. It's fun to watch a team emerge, and that's what's happening with the Padres in 2020.
No doubt, Craig. And this past week, boy, 4 days in a row hitting grand slams, everybody took notice of that. And some of the players on this team are gelling so well, and you know as well as I do, to advance into the winning rounds and this bubble they're going to produce, this team's got to stay together. Tell me your insight about Jace Tingler, your first-year manager, how he's adapting to this and how he's proceeding in his first year as manager. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, it's always going to be a mixed bag with a guy who's doing it for the first time ever. So, he's managed a little bit in the Dominican League and Winter League. He's been a quality control coach, a bench coach. But for Jace Tingler, this is his first time truly running the ship. The one thing he's had since the very, very beginning is 100% support and confidence from general manager A.J. Preller. They worked together in Texas. They became friends in the Rangers organization. Preller believed in Tingler from way back when. And so as he goes forward and makes occasional mistakes, some bigger than others, he's got management's back. And I think that's critical for a young manager not to lose confidence. The biggest thing I think Jace Tingler has brought is a nowness, an urgency to the Padres that just didn't seem to be there in previous administrations. And that comes from the top down too. A team that's expected to win after having this year and this coming decade plotted for the past 5 years, really, since 2016, and trading away Matt Kemp. So you've got everything coming together. And with Tingler, a fresh voice, somebody who's very enthusiastic, somebody who's a very positive-minded type skipper, I think that's really allowed some guys who have been maligned, and rightfully so, the last several years. Speaking of Will Myers, Eric Hosmer's first 2 years in San Diego were both very poor. And he's let those guys relax and play their games. And you're seeing the best year of Hosmer in several years. You're seeing the best year of Will Myers since first half of 2016 right now. And I think Tingler deserves credit for that. He's made mistakes in bullpen management. He certainly made a big mistake when Tatis hit a grand slam, to start that Mount Crushmore week. The way that he spoke about his kid and seemed to be taking the Rangers side of things. But I feel like he's moved past that as of the Padre fans. And so far, so good.
We're speaking to Craig Elston. He is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast out in San Diego. And we're just talking a little bit about Jace Tingler. And there's always good and bad in every manager. And right now he's working on a bullpen that's really, really tough right now with both Yates and Pomeranz, his righty-lefty combination that were supposed to be the killers down there for short relief. Now he's kind of band-aiding it. What do you see about what's happening in that bullpen, and who's going to come to fathom here as the closer?
Yeah, it's so crazy because Padres fans, honestly, for a very long time, have been used to having a certain kind of not very good team in which you never had the offensive firepower, and you maybe had the starting pitching, but you always had that bullpen, and especially that guy at the back. I mean, the Padres have just had one all-star closer after another. It's a lineage that can date back to Raleigh Fingers, you know. So it's wild that this year's Padres instead have six different hitters with an OPS over 800, including five over 900 and three over 1,000. And they have about eight guys on the active roster with an ERA over five. And that includes the bullpen, which has been, short of a couple of performances, generally a mess. In terms of who's in the back, right now it's Emilio Pagan. And Pagan has been really bad for the most part as a Padre so far. And the thing is, he hasn't had his command. His fastball is about a tick or two down from Tampa Bay. He's been sitting 93-95 instead of 95-97. It is straight as an arrow, and it's been getting hammered by left-handed batters for home runs, especially early on in the season. His last couple of outings, two outings ago, he was visited on the mound for forearm tightness, and last night he got cleaned out by a line drive. So, you know, Pagan has been both bad and unlucky and possibly hurt. Pomerantz is hurt. Yates is hurt. And Craig Stammen, who is one of the key members of the bullpen the last couple of years, was re-signed and has been really bad on balance. So it's a unique viewing experience down here in San Diego because we are used to kind of boring games. And if you fall behind, you're out of it. And if you take the lead, you're going to win. And it has been the exact opposite this year. The Padres are never out of any game. Last night was their 14th come-from-behind win.
Wow.
And, I mean, that's incredible to imagine. And they have also blown a ton of leads. And their bullpen has been a tire fire at times. So it's a lot of fun to watch, but it's certainly not easy.
Well, I tell you what, one thing, Craig, is you might have the rookie of the year down there in San Diego. I mean, picking up Jacob Cronenworth, I mean, the guy has done everything plus in his rookie year, and he has established himself so well in that batting lineup and hitting lineup, defensive. Tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are. What a great trade you guys made there from Tampa Bay, and you picked up, is like I said, the potential National League rookie of the year.
You know, so it's funny, there's an axiom, right? You don't make a trade with the Rays. it's gonna backfire on you. And when you look at the two main players in two different trades that the Padres acquired from Tampa Bay, meaning Tommy Pham and Emilio Pagan, you know, Pham played kind of middling ball until he got hurt, and he's out for the year. And Pagan, as we've discussed. However, the toss-in, the extra player in the Tommy Pham trade was a kid who had never made the majors and was entering his age 26 season. That's not a general modern baseball recipe for success. And if you look at Jake Cronenworth's minor league career, until last year, until his age 25 season, there was nothing that would indicate that he was going to be a major league player. Never mind a regular or potentially a star. But last year, something turned around in Durham, and he put up a slash line, which is eerily similar to what he's doing right now in Major League Baseball. He only hit 325 instead of 350, but you know, on-base percentage over 400, slugging percentage nearing 600, with the range to play shortstop. He has been terrific when he was filling in at first base. He's been great at second base. Everywhere they've played him so far, Cronenworth has shown plus range and a solid glove, a steady arm. But what he's doing at the plate is nothing short of spectacular, and it's not like he's got a crazy BABIP or he's really operating in a fluky way. He's taking the ball where it's delivered. He's hitting the ball against the shift, you know, for hits a couple of times a week. And I tell you what, for now, and the Padres have a real top prospect down low in C.J. Abrams, who they think is the second baseman of the future. Cronenworth's got that position. I don't think he's going to let it go anytime soon.
He has definitely made a lot of people take a peek at him, and I love how you analyzed him. I mean, he was a guy that was an add-on pretty much, but, boy, he has taken the opportunity in his run with it. He's almost close to hitting over 350. Some of the other things that the Padres are looking at right now are relief pitchers, as we talked about Pomeranz and Yates going down. Looking at some of the possibilities the Padres are looking at is bullpen. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Is it possible a couple trades that could happen here this weekend as the trade deadline's getting over by Monday?
It's certainly not impossible. And the fact that you can trade outside of your 60-man player pool makes using a player to be named later as the trade mechanism. That opens up a lot of windows for A.J. Preller because, as we were analyzing on a recent Make the Padres Great Again, when you look at that 60-man player pool and you look at the development pool that the Padres have playing at the University of San Diego, it really contains most of the top prospects of the organization. And you don't want to trade guys like that for what would honestly be 8 to 10 innings of relief over the course of the next 25 games, you know, and going into the playoffs. It's really not a fair value deal to make from the Padres' perspective, even with need. Now, if you can get somebody who's controllable, if you can get somebody who you can handle for multiple years, that does change the equation somewhat. You know, the Padres have a ton of really exciting and electric young arms that are either breaking through into the major leagues or are right on the verge of that. And I look at the talent of a kid like a Luis Patino, you know, Mackenzie Gore yet to come up, but considered one of the great left-handed prospects in the game. Michelle Baez is on the roster. Adrian Morejon is on the roster. And these young guys throw 95 with devastating secondary pitches, sometimes up to 98, 99. And I kind of feel like letting them figure their way through the next few weeks of this NBA style season where 8 teams per league make the playoffs makes as much sense to me as it does to spend prospect capital on, like I said, maybe 8 innings from a relief pitcher and hoping that's going to make the difference down the stretch. I think it's more likely to see them trade for either a starting pitcher or an outfielder or both. Coming into Monday, the Padres' left field situation with Pham out is nothing. I mean, it's Jurickson, Profar, Jorge Mateo, just kind of a rotating group of meh that's out there in left field that hasn't been performing at all. Catcher hasn't been performing at all. It's very hard to trade for a catcher in the middle of the season, but the catching is literally the worst in the league in terms of offensive production for the Padres. But their starting situation is where if you could get, say, for example, a Lance Lynn or a Dylan Bundy, somebody like that that could step into that top three, I think it would take a lot of pressure off because Denelson Lamet's been terrific. Zach Davies has been terrific. But Garrett Richards has had 2 bad starts in a row, and Chris Paddock has really underwhelmed this season, the opening day starter. So adding somebody that could be a playoff top three I think might bring more value overall to the Padres than, like I said, no matter who the relief pitcher was. If it was Josh Hader, you know, he's got years to come, right? But sure, any rental you could imagine, you're really talking about maybe 10 innings. And that's just, it seems like a silly way to spend.
We're speaking to Craig Elston on the pregame show. Let's look at the schedule for the Padres coming up. It's pretty easy. I think it's pretty good in the Padres side when you're looking at Colorado here through Labor Day. And then you go to the Angels, L.A. Angels. Then you come back up here for Oakland. But then you got Colorado, San Francisco, and the Dodgers. And that really is going to be a span of 10 games. I think that's going to be a big homestand for you guys from September 7th through the 16th. And then you finish up with Seattle, the Angels, and the Giants. What do you think about looking for this month of September? Again, 20-14, looking pretty good for the Padres.
Yeah, and this current weekend series of 4 in Coors Field, you know, short of the Dodgers series left on the schedule, to me, you know, that represents the tough and the A's, the toughest remaining series. I think the Padres have the easiest schedule. I mean, I've gone through the schedules, and especially you look at that last 15, and short of the Dodgers series, it's 11-15 against teams that, you know, hey, no disrespect to San Francisco, and I know they had a nice streak, but are they going to be thinking they're contending at that point? Or is it going to be pure development? You know, I look at the Angels, Seattle, and San Francisco as being 3 teams that could be out of it at the end of the year, and the Padres are kind of getting to fatten up at that point of the season. I think the Padres are 100% going to make the playoffs. COVID or a rash of injuries, I think they are 100% a playoff team. And it's a matter of how it's going to line up in this crazy season where even the best team in the league is going to be facing some other clubs, 1-2 in their starting rotation. And if it goes the wrong way, they're out of the playoffs like a college baseball team. So,
At the schedule, there's like 21 games. I might be wrong. Straight, 21-24 because you just got done playing Seattle. And then the last 2 weeks of the season, you got 3 days off, which just doesn't make sense to me when you're playing so many games in a row that all of a sudden you play the Dodgers, you got a day off. You play Seattle 3 games, you got a day off. You play the Angels 2 games, you got a day off. That's kind of strange, but in a way that helps the Padres because then you can start up, you can start your rotation looking into the playoffs and starting to set up what your goals are once that first round is starting and you know who you're playing against. And some ways it's tough right now because you're playing so many games in a row, but at the end it may even help you.
I completely agree. And as long as the Padres know they're in that playoff bracket, then you're absolutely right. You use those off days to line it up so that you can have Denelson Lamet starting game one of that best of three. I mean, Lamet, by the way, we haven't mentioned in this interview, and he's pitching at a Cy Young level. And his last outing was the only one where it wasn't like no hitter into the fifth or beyond.
Yeah,
every game has been 99 with a wipeout slider. And so he's an under the radar dude, but he's a dude. That's really moving the ball. So it's going to be fun these next few weeks, and health willing. And we always start and end every one of our podcasts by saying, make the Padres great again. And I've been adding, keep the Padres healthy. That's our second hashtag.
Well, I got to end you with this one. The uniforms this year, I just love how the Padres are bringing out them. I just think the Padres uniforms are just so cool. And, I played back in the 80s when I saw some of these. But at the same time, what are your thoughts about all these color coordinations?
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so great. And it's absolutely what we've only been asking for two decades. Yep. Bring back the brown. They went through really the whole 2000s until this year looking like a Walmart knockoff major league team. Just white, navy blue, generic, boring, there was absolutely nothing attached to the Padres in terms of their heritage with their look for 20 years. And now completely reversed. This is what we want. We want the sand. We want the brown. Mm-hmm. We want that yellow tinge. I think those road pinstripes are the prettiest Padres uniforms of all time.
They're just sharp looking, the contrast of colors, and it just brings that out, that logo, so cool. And I tell you what, the best looking uniform this year that I've seen, and I'm just hoping that they continue to do it. But I really appreciate your time today. Craig Elson, he is the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast. And again, great talking to you. Good luck the rest of the year. And I'll be definitely watching that Padre podcast for you, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Always enjoy being on. Take care.
All right. That was Craig Elston. And we'll be right back on the pregame show as you're listening to it on KNBR 680 AM 104.5 FM. We'll be right back on the Sports Leader.